ready to go, and Danny said, whoa. We need to get one of those speaker systems where somebody sits back in the corner and runs it.
Whoa.
Wouldn't that be wild? A business. 9 out of 10 fail. The reason is, numerous reasons, lack of planning, lack of ambition, lack of following good guidelines. We got good guidelines in the Bible. We're required to have the ambition. God is a spirit. We're talking about that verse. God is a spirit, and they worship must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's talking about ambition. That's the what emanates from within. Talks about desire. There's no reason for the Lord's church to ever go down. If it does, it's because the church isn't doing what they should be. The rubber meets the road when you're faced with a challenge. And it's what you do from there. That's where the rubber meets the road. You know, Tim didn't mention his challenge, but said he's had challenges. But as he was faced with those challenges, he continued to go forward and serve the Lord. Over the years, my life has been helping people go to heaven. I didn't start that when I started preaching. I started that very young. And I've seen a lot of people turn their back for a lot of silly reasons. Satan's deceptive. And he doesn't want you to have a successful business. He wants you to fail. When challenges come, when you get upset, discouraged, when you wonder whether it's worth it, get up and keep going. Continue to live for the Lord. Be willing to make any sacrifice that you got to make, because I'll guarantee you hell is worth missing. And if you choose to not follow God, that's where you're going. And I know that's pretty hard saying. You cannot turn your back on the Lord and go to heaven. You must stand up in the midst of adversity. Jesus suffered immense adversity. We gain strength by following in his steps. But what choices do we make when it gets tough? When it costs us a lot or it's a challenge? When things come that upset us? When health problems come, what do we do? Struggles, challenges, hurts, pain. If you're struggling through something, if you look to Jesus and see what he went through, it would change the whole perspective. And then the direction that you take. Because you will continue to make sure that the business is successful of going to heaven. Study, pray, and develop godly wisdom. Learn to live. You know, those positive little passages that tell us about peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. Man, talk about a taste of heaven. There ain't no drama in those situations. It ain't there. If there's ever drama, don't get involved. Don't feed it. Because if you do, you're just as guilty. If I feed it, I'm just as guilty. And that's not heavenward bound. And so we need to be very careful to seek godly wisdom and act the way that Jesus tells us to do. We got to follow the plan. This plan is better than McDonald's plan. I got news for you. And it may be a multi-billion dollar business worldwide, but Jesus' plan is better, and it's lasted longer than Roy Kroc's plan. Almost 2,000 years. And so we need to stick with the plan and continue with it. We need to also understand that we are personally accountable to teach others the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is about you, but it ain't about you. Part of being about you is the fact that you're here to try to help others to learn as well. We've been given a gift, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we appreciate that gift and love the Lord for it, we're going to do everything we can to share with others and help them to love it. We have that responsibility. We've got to study the Bible so that we can teach others. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 is a passage that I've probably said many times and we've studied and we probably can maybe quote. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth, the word of truth. He's talking about studying the Bible. And so what he's implying is if you don't study the word of God, you're going to be ashamed. It's quite frank. It's kind of like employee at McDonald's, you know. If they don't learn how to do it, they're going to get called on the carpet and be ashamed in time. Okay, you got to learn to do your job. And so, you know, we've got the guidance there, and we're going to have to learn how to do it if we're going to pass that knowledge along to others. You notice that at McDonald's and places like that, they usually choose somebody that is well knowledgeable of all the guidelines to teach somebody else how to do the job. You're not going to take a one-day employee and teach them how to do these floors, right? And have him just say, I want you to teach these new employees how to do the floor. And there's their first day of job, right? You can do that? I don't think so. You're not sure that you want the people that's been doing it for 10 years to do it. Okay? And so you and I need to spend time in studying the Word of God so that we're not ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed on the day of judgment. And we need to recognize that need to study. And that's the reason. How many daily Bible readers? I ask that. You know, we need to all read our Bible. We need to study it. And the more you read it, the more you study it, the more you're going to find out. And just get into it and look at what it says. You know, it's amazing to me the many times that I've read the Bible over, and it's like that Jeremiah 42. Was it 42 that we studied Wednesday night? You know, I mean, it was a mind-blowing thing. And how many times have I looked at that, and all of a sudden it just hits me, you know, after 50-some years of studying the Bible. And I think, wow, that's so neat. It doesn't matter if you read it every day. All your life, you're still going to learn and keep growing. Study so you can teach others, and don't stay in the milk stage. Now, this milk stage is something that I think it's important we understand some things about. Those that have need of milk and not strong meat, when we really get into that passage in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, we're going to learn that the milk and the meat are, one is the studying, that's the milk, and learning. The other one is the meat, which is putting it into practice in your life. You know, we can study all of our life and be just as lost as we can be. We've got to take that and we've got to get into the meat stage and put it into practice. And that's a challenge at times because, you know, we're all dealing with different struggles and we all have different roles. We all do different things, but we're all following the same Bible. And it comes clearer as we spend time in it. But notice here, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian brethren, he says, I've failed you, in 1 Corinthians 3:2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Neither yet now are ye able, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? So the Apostle Paul said, look, I fed you with milk and not with meat. Let's go forward. Let's give it all that we've got. Quit your ungodly living. Quit your ungodly actions and go forward and be what God says. You know, and we're a family. We're a kingdom. We are a business that needs to work together to encourage and to strengthen one another and to help each other to go forward. You know, McDonald's could put all these plans into place and have all this stuff, and they never buy their first property. They never put up their first building. They never hire their first employee or buy their first pound of hamburger, and they're never going to make it. You got to put it in practice. You and I are individually responsible for putting it into practice in our life. I can't make you. You can't make me. But each of us is going to give an account on the day of judgment whether or not we did it. And so we can encourage one another, and guys, we need to do that. Let's encourage and try to strengthen and help one another to go forward. We need each other. None of us are an island. I can't do it without your help. Together we can accomplish. So we're accountable personally. We're also accountable professionally. When we think about professional, we think about an heir that is put forward among our customers that will give put our job and our business in an elevated status. I remember Seth came home one time and he was a valet parking cars. And somebody had a car problem and he helped them fix the car. And the boss said, no, that is not your job. That is not the professional behavior that our employees are going to have. He said, you don't do that. It was out of their realm. In fact, the other day, I think it was over on 8th Street, I saw a police officer helping somebody jumpstart their car. Now, usually they don't do that, from what I understand. And so I probably won't tell anybody who it was, because he'll probably get in trouble. The church is a business that must be professional. We need to have behavior that is becoming of the profession wherewith we are engaged. We need to remember that each member should see his role as a profession. Go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Matthew 16 and verse 26, a well-known passage, simply says, "For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Do you see the professional status? Do you see the value of what you are doing and how important it is that we must be that professional individual? We must give that air that we are actually a part of that very, very important job of helping people go to heaven and go on ourselves. Because when we look at that, it says, look, you know, what have you gained? If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Do you see how valuable what you are doing is all about? It's worth more than the whole world that you could gain. And so we need to recognize that each member should see his role as a profession. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, this passage says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" Every time I look out on the deck, I see grapes all over the place. I don't see thistles. You know what that tells me? Tells me that there's grapevines up above. You and I are in a profession. We are commanded to bear fruits worthy of the profession that we are in. And we must take that responsibility very, very seriously. We are commanded to bear fruit. You know, that fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." That's fruit, okay? Those things of following what Jesus says, whether it's the peacemaker that we read about in James chapter 3 or the love that we show in whatever way, those things are talking about the fruit that we are to bear in our lives. And when we bear those things, we are showing that we are a child of God. We're showing that we're part of that very important profession that we have been called to by the gospel. We need to understand that since we are accountable professionally, that there are certain requirements that must be met for that job. You know, when they interview people for a job and they try to find people that are qualified to handle that job. I was talking with Gary a little bit before he went out, and he said that There was about 30 of them that went to apply for a job, and they was about 50 people short. He said, somebody come in. He thought maybe it was the boss. He said, how many of you are willing to start tonight, and how many of you want to start tomorrow? It sounded like they really need some bodies that could do some work. And they didn't care as long as you's willing to work. You know, and so, but the thing is, the qualification that was really important to them was at that particular time, that was people that was willing to step in and do something. That's what a system does. When you have a system, you can put people in that job and make a fortune. Just like McDonald's has done. Roy Kroc did that. He took teenagers and made a fortune. Because he had a system. We have a profession, and we need to make sure that we meet the requirements of that profession. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you know, this is one of the things that is so very important. I mean, I can't take away what it says. It is what it says. And it's a requirement that the master has put in that set of rules and guidelines that he's given. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so notice that the baptism and repentance are required. Notice that the baptism is in the name of Jesus, not in Fred's name. It ain't going to do you a bit of good. It's not in John the Baptist's name. But it's got to be in the name of Jesus. And he also says it must be for remission of sins. It's interesting. I've studied with a lot of people, and I asked them, I said, do you know what word remission means? And nobody knows. And it comes clear when they recognize the definition of the word. That is one of the requirements that God gives. Then we go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 where it says, "But walk in the light. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sins." Notice here that this profession that we are called to, we have got to walk in the light. Now, other scriptures teach us that the light is what Jesus teaches. In other words, if the Bible says it, it's true. Are we to add to the word? We know that passage well, don't we? What about if we find something we don't like? Can we just take it away? Can we do that? See, there is a system that God has put within the scriptures. We're to walk in the light. And whatever He says is what we do. We don't change it because, well, but it's different now. It hadn't changed. You know, it's kind of neat. I've got the Bible. It hadn't changed since the first century. And so I don't have to worry about the rules changing, you know. Somebody was asking me, I think it was Steve that was asking me yesterday when we were fishing. He said, do they change rules in the aviation? I said, yeah. He said, you got to keep up with them? I said, yeah. Because you're responsible for the rules. God's rules don't change. So whatever they did in the first century, guess what I'm supposed to do now? The same thing. It hasn't changed. And so professionally, the profession hasn't changed. We are still to follow the guidelines that Jesus has given us in the pages of the New Testament. Now, the thing that I think is so important about all this, and, of course, I have to look up words, but it really fit into the lesson, and it fits into the biblical guidelines. We talk about profession, but we also talk about avocation. Now, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I think you know the word, okay? And so, avocation simply means it's a way of life. I really struggled with preaching full-time because my way of life now is mingled with a profession, if you want to say that. And I've never really, I don't know that I've ever accepted that. Because I'm a Christian first, and I've always tried to do that. And when I preach, it's not a profession. It's a way of life. Our children were around when I started preaching. And the rules didn't change because I started preaching. Does that make sense? Are you following what I'm saying? I was just as devoted to being in attendance of the worship and the Bible study after I started preaching as I was before I started preaching. Because I knew it was a command of God and I didn't have a choice. When I was baptized into Christ, I made a commitment that I was going to serve the Lord. And so it wasn't a decision. Should I go have fun today instead of come to Bible study?
No.
Thank you. I'm going to have to keep you around. You're good. You're good. So it's not a question that I make. And so you don't preach full time. I do. But you're a Christian. If you are a Christian, it's your avocation. And that's a whole lot more valuable than a profession. Because I could be a professional preacher and be just as lost as I could be because it's not my way of life. Does that make sense? Okay? And so this business of the Lord's church, we need to understand that this is a way of life. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It's such a neat passage. And it simply says, "And whatever you do," whatever you do, what is that? Is that just a daily job? No. That's your play time. That's your work time. That's your study time. That's your relaxed time. That's all of it. Whatever you do in word or deed. Whoa. So in other words, whatever I do in every word that utters out of my mouth. So if I've got filthy words that come out of my mouth. Ungodly stuff. Think about it. Or deed. What if I choose to do something to hook Christ on the back burner? Whatever you do in deed. Do it all in the name of our Lord. You know what "in the name of our Lord" means? By His authority. Does that mean you can do wrong and say, "I'm doing it in the name of Jesus"? No. That means that when you do something, you do it because He's given you authority to do it. In other words, that's the directions that He's given it. That's part of this plan. That's part of the directions that are in this, the plan that puts the business together. So in other words, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name or by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Guys, Christianity better be an avocation. It's got to be your way of life. When you get up in the morning and you don't feel like talking to anybody and you want to drink coffee for a little while and read. Okay, I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. Dorothy, leave me alone. You know, sometimes I get up and Dorothy's been up for 2 hours. I'm still just getting up. Okay? We'll talk after a while. But I still need to be Christian. And I still need to strive to be kind. Now that might not always be easy. But it's not a profession, guys. It's a way of life, right? If I get mad at somebody, what do I do? I better be very careful because I'm treading on light, thin ice. I'm fixing to sin if I don't watch what I say and how I react. Whatever it is, guys, consider Christianity a way of life, an avocation. Church is like a business. We are also accountable socially. You know, when we think about this PR for these businesses, you look at all this, these little words that a CEO says and then they resign or they get fired and then they put all this stuff on the news about how you know, they didn't mean this and this is not acceptable. We've heard it all, okay? I ever see the news, I see this trash all the time, okay? But you know what? As the Lord's church, you and I are accountable socially. You know, I mentioned a while ago or this morning that, you know, out there they look at you and me and they'll see a little inconsistency and they say, "It's a hypocrite. That's just a bunch of hypocrites down there." And you know they say that. So do we have a responsibility socially? When they look at you in the community, they're looking at the Lord Himself. And they're judging the rest of the Lord's people by your actions. Now, that's a heavy burden to bear, because every one of us can raise our hand and about the times we've made mistakes. I'm glad we got the Lord and forgiveness in the blood of Jesus, okay? But I'm also glad we got help, because I can hopefully do better tomorrow than I did today. And I can be a better example tomorrow. To help somebody see that, okay, I'm a forgiven person and I'm sorry for what I've done and I'm going to try to do better. But I guarantee you one thing, I'm going to give it all of my got to make sure that I don't make mistakes. And I know that that's not possible to do that properly, but I'm going to do everything I can. Guys, we are accountable socially. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 25, and I want to look at verses 34 through 40. The passage says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me." The way we treat one another is the way we treat Jesus. The way we treat the cash register, the lady that runs the cash register, is the way we treat Jesus. And then you go on down line. I've struggled with this eviction. The guy has skipped out on a lot of money. But I'm still treating good. In fact, I pray for him. Now he's hurt us. And we did our best to be so very nice. And he said, "Please, please, Fred, I'll pay you everything. Just please be patient a little bit longer." And all the time, he was planning on skipping out on over $3,000. But I'm going to treat him good. And I'm going to pray that God will bless him. And his family. And his children. You and I are accountable socially. What do you feel but wronged in? Where do you feel you've been hurt? Act like Jesus when you get hurt. Act like Jesus when you get hurt. That's where the rubber meets the road. It's easy to treat. You know, we have such a good relationship. It's easy to be nice to each other, isn't it? The rubber meets the road when somebody crosses you. The church is like a business. And when the employees start to warn, the business is going down. And almost all the time, it's over misunderstandings and things that don't even matter. We are accountable socially for the things that we do, both among ourselves and among the community. And we must take our avocation very seriously, because the way we treat anybody that we meet is what we're doing to Jesus. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, "And those that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel." Guys, if you really love those that are around you, pray for their souls. Pray for the ones that hurt you, that God will bless them and lead them to Jesus. So I don't think you want to see them go to hell. If you do, maybe you have a heart problem. Yes, I know we get wronged. But we need to remember that we've all made our own mistakes. And somebody led us to Jesus. And we need to share that because we are accountable socially. We need to understand that we must spread the word personally. Now, keeping in mind, each of us have different roles and strengths and weaknesses in all of this. But I want to read this passage in 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. Because this really has got so many thought-provoking things that you and I need to look at every day as we try to help others to see Jesus living in us. It says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive." How easy it is to strive with somebody that we don't agree with. How ridiculous. Let's forget the things we don't agree with and let's try to come back to things we do agree with and find common ground and work from there. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto those that are easy to be gentle to. Y'all not following me? I didn't get any looks. Be gentle unto all men. We're accountable socially. How easy it is to do things in such a way that turns people away from the gospel. We want a business that's promoted and does well. The Lord's business. We're accountable socially. You and I are going to give an account for the influence that we have in the community. We don't want to be the CEO that loses his job because he made some off-color remark about whatever it may be. We've seen it in the news. What you are doing and going to heaven is a whole lot more important than however, whoever CEO it is and however much money they're making. Because your soul's worth more than all the money in the world. Be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Be ready. That doesn't mean you really understand and know how and are well qualified, but together we work together. Patient. How easy it is to lose patience. We're willing to be patient until it crosses my face, right? Till you step on my nerve. Till I've had a bad day. It's a command of God. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You have a meek attitude toward those that are believing and understanding and doing the wrong thing. That means meekness is related to humility. We're putting ourselves under them, even though they're wrong. And so in meekness, we need to be instructing those that oppose themselves. We think that they're against us because they believe something different. That is not what my Savior says. He says they oppose themselves. And he says they're taken captive by Satan to do his will. And so we need to be there to do everything that we can to spread that word personally in their lives. What about our influence? I'll tell you what, our influence, and we've talked about this numerous times and in several settings, but our influence is so very important. You're being watched. And there's people that jump on the bandwagon if you do what's wrong. Be very careful. Be very cautious. In this society that we live in, watch your influence. Watch your words. Be very compassionate and understanding with one another in the seeming hurts and with those that are on the outside. Inviting to services. Kind deeds. In words. The things that we do socially is so very important that we keep it in mind. We need to understand that the gospel is spread by individuals. Programs don't do it, it's people. one of the big reasons of the success of the church here is because the people are excited about it. And we need to stay excited about it. I mean, we need lessons like this are sometimes a little challenging because we need to be challenged. Who here is perfect? Who's got it all together? Now, Jesus is in our midst, right? He's the only one, and so we can't see His hand go up. But not a one of us can raise our hand. And so we need these lessons to help us to be better. I need them because I struggle, and I need you to help me. But together we do it. We need to understand, guys, that Christianity is a social religion. A lot of religions have a tendency to kind of seclude themselves from those around them. But Jesus says, no, that's not the way it is. In John 17, verse 15, He says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. Jesus never intended for His people, His business, to go out of the world and seclude themselves from the world. He expects that, yes, we take them out of the world as far as lost, but they're still in the world and they're influencing the world around them. And so we need to remember that we are a very social business. It's in a people business. You know, in my role, it's been kind of hard for me because what I try to do is be in people's lives. And I have so much fun, I feel guilty. I love what I do. And Tim's saying, man, I wouldn't want to do what you do. But you know, Tim once in a while says, hey, I got somebody I want you to talk to. But he's just as involved as I am. But y'all have done the same thing. We all work it together. And together we are a social religion that is trying to help others. We need to understand that as in our avocation, we are not islands. We are, number one, we are lights. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, Matthew 5 and verse 14, I know that's not right. Matthew 5 and verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. So I'm asking you the question, how's your light? Is your light drawing people closer to the business of Christianity or running off? Think of your words. Think of your actions. Think of your attitudes. Think of what you do. Think of how you act. Think of it all and put it together and ask yourself the question, have the things that I've done pulled people closer to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or have they made them stand back and say, man, I don't want anything to do with that. Why would I want anything to do with that trash? Jesus said, you're a light of the world. Be very careful and let your light shine. He also says that we are a seasoning. In Matthew 5:13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is sent forth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You and I are here to season those that are around us. And that kind of tells us if we're just like them, we got nothing to offer. We're good for nothing more to be thrown out and stepped on. We've got to have something to give. We've got to have them something that we can show them that helps them to be better. Not to be like them. You know, I've seen the church can become to the point where we just want to be like the world around us. We just like to be like everybody else. We don't want to be different. You're not seasoning. You're just like them. If that's the case, we need to be different. We are a set apart people. That's the peculiar people in 1 Timothy chapter 2, or 1 Peter chapter 2. And so we are a peculiar people. We are set apart for a specific purpose. That is to be that light and to season those that are around us. Are you a good part of the business? Or do you see weaknesses? If you see weaknesses, Does it matter to you? Does it matter enough to cause you to hang your head and say, I'm sorry, God. Please help me to be better. Because the world's watching. The Christians are watching. And most importantly, Jesus is watching. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation for any reason, this song's for that purpose. Do it now while we stand and sing.